Hour three of your Friday edition, your roundtable edition of Justice and Drew is underway, flying by this morning. Still lots to get to, plus Tom Emmer coming up in just about 20 minutes. And we will preview, at the end of this segment, we will preview this week's parody song contest. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Eagles, Target Field, Saturday, June 30th, if you can correctly identify all the stories being referenced in this week's parody song contest.
Are all the dads going to be at that show?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be all the dads.
A lot of Hawaiian shirts and flip-flops, cargo shorts.
Ooh, do you think the Eagles people and the Buffett people have like a clash in the parking lot?
Ooh.
You know?
I like that. Because yeah, it is kind of two different crowds.
Kind of,
yeah. No,
different flavors of dad.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you can, if you win, you can go just for the Buffett part. You don't have to go to the Eagles.
Stop with the hate on the Eagles.
Different flavors of partying, too.
Yes, exactly. Both kind of chill, but like different versions of chill.
Yeah, you got margaritas on one end, and then, you know, whatever Eagles fans do.
I don't know what Eagles fans do.
Terrible taste in music.
I went to a lot of
little circles of people listening to one person play Desperado on guitar.
I went to a show in Louisville. It was a double bill, Willie Nelson and Bob Dylan. So it was an amazing show.
Yeah.
But Willie went first, and then we wound up getting like front row tickets to Bob Dylan, because when you're in Nashville and Willie Nelson leaves, show's over for a lot of people.
So then it was
just old Bob hanging out.
I saw Arlo Guthrie over in St. Paul last weekend, and I did not go into that show with a lot of very high expectations. Not really my cup of tea. I've never had one of those.
Freudian slip.
My wife loves Arlo Guthrie.
So I'm glad that she loves Arlo Guthrie.
Yeah, I know. That could have gone a number of different directions.
Did he play Alice's Restaurant for 42 minutes?
Not for 42 minutes, but he did play it. And it was fun because you know, you've heard that song a million times. You know that story. He updated it. He kind of changed it up a little bit. Really fantastic. Taken aback. Fantastic show.
It was like good.
Everybody in the audience at the Arlo Guthrie show looked exactly like you would expect everybody in the audience to look like at the Arlo Guthrie show. You had every sort of Arlo Guthrie stereotype represented in the audience.
Did they think you were a cop, basically?
No, they thought that was their grandson.
No, it's like when we went to the State Theater and saw Gordon Lightfoot. It was awesome. The 73rd time he played Edmund Fitzgerald. it was really something. It was moving.
Being raised in a staunch Christian household, especially in the 80s, being surrounded by that culture, the Eagles and Hotel California was my first foray into the devil's music.
Ah.
I remember the cover of the cover for Hotel California being discussed at length about how dangerous it was, and it was from the fruits of the devil because of the little person that was up in the window of the corner, and how they were looking down upon everybody, and how this was somehow a spawn of Satan.
The threshold for what was considered satanic was so much lower back then. You listen to Hotel California now.
Yeah, it's like, really? Nothing.
Like a folk song. Are you kidding me?
I miss the days of hyper-analyzing lyrics for their hidden meaning. And everything's there, you just kind of know what they mean.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, now people just say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's just kind of out there. Just go to Twitter.
651-989-5855.
Use the hashtag TCNT.
Yeah, you'll see.
You see a lot of that. Yeah.
A lot of nonsense. Let's go to a couple of people who've been holding for a while. We'll start with Eric in Uptown. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. I was wondering, the online car sales, if you're allowed to purchase a car if you're in Minnesota from another state on a Sunday.
Like online?
Yeah, I go online.
I can't imagine that.
Here in Minneapolis, so I just go online and I buy a car.
Two words, dark web.
No. Yeah, but it might come with a body in the trunk.
Yeah. Okay. Or cocaine. You never know. Could go either way. Yeah.
No,
it's like getting a scratcher.
Mm. Yeah.
Colorado, you guys could be right.
You know, I guess I don't know. My guess would be that the people... Well, if you're buying it outside,
I can't imagine
the state,
it's not. They couldn't enforce that, even if it was. I don't think it's illegal, but even if it was, it's completely unenforceable.
Well, I'm just trying to think, like signing the actual papers, or if it's electronic. If it's outside of the state, I'm sure it would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you Absolutely got to buy a car on Sunday.
That's why it'll never pass. People buy cars once every how many years?
Yeah.
You know, it's not that big of an inconvenience to the average consumer to not be able to buy on a Sunday, whereas with liquor sales, that's the difference. The rationale behind it is still really dumb. If you sell cars and you would like to sell a car to a person on a Sunday, there should be no law preventing you from doing it. It's absolutely stupid. But because people buy cars once every 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever. Nobody really cares. And that's why that law will never change, because nobody really cares all that much.
Let's go and talk with Jeff in Cocado. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. You want to, you got a comment on hands free?
Yeah, it was, my question was for Nick. He was in law enforcement, earlier on. There's already a law against distracted driving. Why can't we just use that law instead of piling on more?
Yeah, but I think that's the rebuttal that people that oppose the hands-free bill often use. I think what the author of the bill, Representative Hugelum, and then what advocates for the bill talk about, including law enforcement, is the challenge that law enforcement faces when they're driving on the freeway. They see someone that's holding their phone and saying, you know, is that person violating current state statute and sending or receiving a text message? Or is that person going into Google Maps? Or is that person in their phone book looking up a phone number? So to try to decipher illegal activity versus legal activity under the current statute, which talks about sending or receiving electronic information while operating a motor vehicle, and so I think that's the challenge to decipher that. Now, what ends up happening is a police officer will pull you over and basically say, "Hey, were you texting?" And if you go, "Yeah,"
do you get an extra ticket for being stupid?
You get a ticket.
Hey, sometimes it pays to be honest, okay?
You get a ticket. And if you say, "No, I was looking up," or "I was looking at my GPS here, look, I got
right.
I'm following my Maps app."
But see, that's what bothers me about this, because when it comes to the level of distraction, there's no difference between those two activities.
No,
there is zero difference. I've had to do that before while driving, and I hate it. It's awful trying to configure and manipulate updating your map and your GPS. Terrible.
Okay. Understand that it wasn't that long ago that you unfolded this giant, this giant actual map that you could never fold back up to fit in your glove box. And so you'd have people with this giant map stretched across their entire dashboard.
Well,
trying to figure out where their exit is.
Or the same people cycling through a giant stack of cassette tapes trying to find the specific cassette tape that you want in the armrest.
I had the big case.
I'm so happy that I'm not as old as you guys.
Cassette tape.
I'm happy you're not old too.
Cassette tape to the CD wallet. We talked about that the other day as well.
Yeah.
Look, and again, this isn't just one more other point on this. How many times, when was the last time, and I bet it was recently, and it was on the way to work this morning, just driving, did you check out and then check back in to realize, how did the Sam heck did I get from point A to point B just now? I mean, that's just, when you talk about something, there is a level where you got to go, there's a level of distraction that just happens while you're driving.
Well, and
you're never going to get rid of it.
And that's one of the challenges that as we look forward and
get rid of cars.
We look at a society that
Lisa Bender,
but everyone but for her,
right?
Because she's pretty important. In case you didn't know that, but I think the reality is the way the human brain works, and with this increasing level of distractions or things, and the idea that you're driving down the street in your mind, just if you're driving the same route to work every single day, the same route home, your brain fills in gaps.
Yep.
That your eyes miss, that your ears miss, that you, and it's over time, and it just fills it in with quote unquote what it always sees. And so you can at times go, oh, what the, I missed my exit. What happened?
This is a straight up true story. It was about a week ago. I am on my bike, on my daily ride. I'm driving home. I'm over by Johnsville, the school. I'm coming up to an intersection.
I thought that's what you called Blaine.
There's
wherever he goes, man. It's like Margaritaville. It's a state of mind.
There's a... it's my son's school. but that's funny. I'm coming up on an intersection, and there's a woman coming down the road in an SUV. Okay, and timing-wise, I knew that I was going to hit the intersection long before she did. She looked right at me and kept driving through to make her right-hand turn right in front of me. Like, I had to swerve out into the other lane to completely avoid her. I'm convinced she looked at me but did not see me.
Sure.
Her memory filled in that gap and did. I mean, I was wearing a bright red shirt, right? The music in my headphones was loud enough. She probably could have heard it. She just completely I wasn't even there. And of course, I was the bad guy.
Would there be anything besides Zima and grenadine to drink in Johnsville?
Well, yeah, and wine. I like wine.
Okay.
There would be nothing to watch but Star Wars.
I'm just wondering what Johnsville
would be an awesome place. It's my home.
Everything would taste like ranch.
My home is Johnsville, for crying out loud. It's a true story. That's right. I often just get the fingers just so I can get the condiment.
Sounds awful.
Jim in Burnsville. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, good morning. My question is, when is enough enough?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
All right. The question is, you know, some years ago we passed a law involving the amount of alcohol a person can have in their system. All right. Well, then we decided that wasn't enough. We're going to tighten the screws some more. We're going to lower it. And so we did. And now... have we reduced the amount of drunken driving? Well, no, because we've got scoff laws out there.
Actually, we significantly reduced drunk driving.
Yeah, that's gone down quite a bit, yeah.
You know, and no. who's causing the problem? The people that have got 8 and 10 DWIs. Well, now we're looking at doing it with, we've done it with texting. Now, that's fine. I wouldn't text to begin with. Not while I'm driving. It's way too distracting.
Yeah.
But now we're going to take my telephone away so that I can't hold it in my hand.
Right. Yep. No. It's. I'm with you, Jim. It's frustrating. It's very nanny state-ish, you know, to try to outlaw and ban every type of behavior that could lead to something bad happening. And look, distracted driving is bad. Texting and driving is bad. Don't take this the wrong way. But there are a lot more people that are out there driving around texting and using their phones and not getting in an accident than there are ones that end up getting in an accident.
Well, and this rolls right back around to what spins right back around to what we were talking about earlier during the legislative session and the amount of time that gets spent on these bills. The thing about this particular issue is that it requires a lengthier conversation. And that's why, we talk a lot about just information campaigns and awareness campaigns. That's why I'm such a big proponent of those over adding further legislation, because the conversation about how your memory fills in the gaps when you're going somewhere, the conversation of having the conversation in the car, whether on your phone or with the person next to you or in the back seat, is way more distracting than what you're actually doing with your phone. Those, to me, are the things that can make a real big, huge difference. We were talking about the seatbelts, right? And you can argue whether or not, you know, as Pete Hegg said, you know, kind of alluded to, whether or not the seatbelt law is tyrannical, because you're not hurting anybody else. But the reality is, because of awareness campaigns, I cannot drive my car
right
or pull out of a parking lot unless I go and snap my seatbelt. That's not because of the law. That's because I want to strap myself in and be safe. So that, I'm glad these conversations are taking place. I just wish when these circumstances, we would have further conversations before we end up hitting that. Well, now we're going to do the blanket ban.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very nanny state-ish.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me. You know, stop trying to outlaw perfectly legal behavior. And I'm not referring specifically to texting while driving here, but there are efforts to outlaw perfectly legal fine behavior because some people do it and cause problems.
Well, and we haven't had a chance to get into this, and maybe after we talk with Representative Tom Emmer, but we spoke a little bit about this with Jason Flores from Americans for Prosperity yesterday. The Minnesota Senate advanced the opioid fee despite the opposition from drug companies. And this is one of the issues that we talked about with him was, you know, are we simply going to do this blanket charge the health insurance providers and the makers of the opioids more and say, well, we've fixed the opioid crisis problem, or we've taken a step rather than
we got
having
more money now, so it should be fine.
The longer, lengthier conversations about how people get hooked on these things.
Bob in Wisconsin, real quick, Bob, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Great.
You know, I've had a question about this distracted driving situation as it relates to cell phone usage for quite some time now. And I was wondering, Mr. Zerwas could shed a little light on something for me. That would be the number of people that I see driving around with a dog in their lap.
Oh!
I mean, if that just drives me up a wall, because no one ever talks about it, and it can't be any more safe or less dangerous.
Is that a comfort animal?
Someone talking on a cell phone. I don't text and drive. I'm driving now and talking.
Don't text and drive? Don't Rex and drive.
but what about these people with a dog on their lap?
Should we ban having a dog on your lap while driving?
I think
poor Nick, man. It feels like every conversation just points right back over at you.
People ask me very few questions about the legislative process.
Got a question for Brian?
Yeah, I know. I've got a marijuana legal.
Is there a story about marijuana? No, I think the caller brings up an excellent point that if this is really about safety, if this is really about finding ways to crack down on distracted driving, then it isn't just about the cell phone. It's about a myriad of things that drivers can do in their vehicle.
Exactly.
That take their attention and eyes and focus off the road.
Let cops have a little discretion, and they can tell when somebody is driving poorly. They can tell when somebody is, you know, weaving in and out of a lane or driving under the speed limit or over the speed. Let cops use their discretion, and we don't need to have a law regarding every possible eventuality. We do have Representative Tom Emmer joining us next. But first, we will do your preview of this week's parody song contest. 5 parody song snippets, all referencing stories we covered on the show this week. First person after 8:30 that can tell us what all 5 stories are is going to win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett at Target Field on Saturday, June 30th.
What do you get when you're the AG and a big shot in the Me Too movement? When some say you're twisted and they can't prove it, well, looks like you'll be resigning. Hey, Iran, Trump took your deal away. And gives you food poisoning romaine. She won't be running.
Oh yeah.
Won't be running. Miss Obama.
That lava keeps on flowing. The destruction's pretty clear. Where there once was homes full of families, well, they're no longer here.
Your
and Drew, along with Sam, 651-989-5855. It is a Friday roundtable. Representative Nick Zerwas and comedian Brian Miller in studio with us. But now, as we do every Friday at various times, it changes from week to week. We are always pleased to welcome
Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for taking some time to join us this Friday. How's your week been? What's the big Emmer news going on this week?
Well, I don't know. It's a happy birthday, Minnesota, right?
Oh, yes.
160th birthday today, I believe it is.
She's getting up there.
Nothing big happening in Washington. You know, we had a I think it's the 15th Congressional Review Act to stop a CFPB attempt to regulate the auto lending industry when they specifically were excluded from doing it. Richard Cordray, who wants to be the governor of Ohio, did it anyway. So it did was add costs to automobiles for people who are trying to buy, and we eliminated that this week.
Ooh.
The president, big surprise, I don't think, announced that he's going to reinstate sanctions against Iran. That was pretty quiet, as you know. Nobody really had an opinion on that. And then there's a lot of news about the summit with Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, that's going to take place on June 12th. So really kind of a quiet week.
Well, we want to talk to you about a couple of these things. Let's double back real quick to President Donald Trump and the Iran nuke deal. And actually, in a strange twist, Star Tribune this morning, summit set, detainees free, Trump sees big success, and this is, I'm sorry, let me back up here. There's two, actually. That's the Star Tribune story, but the editorial from the Star Tribune, Trump was right to vacate Iran nuclear deal. It's a promise made and kept, but let's hope he also makes plans. The Star Tribune actually got on board with President Donald Trump getting out of the Iran nuclear deal.
John, you know what that means? That means that every one of us right now should put our skates on because hell has frozen over. It's obviously something big is happening at the Star Tribune because that shocks me. But they're right. He did do the right thing. Remember, the imperial presidency under Barack Obama, which nobody wants to complain about now, but while he was in office, whenever he didn't get the legislative branch of government working with him, he just thought he was the king, and he did it himself. This Iran deal, nuclear deal, was a horrible deal from the get-go. He and John Kerry and company negotiated this thing. They had no intention of having it approved the way a treaty is supposed to be constitutionally approved. In fact, I don't think a lot of people remember, but they were going to take it directly to the UN, the United Nations Security Council. That's who they thought should approve this deal, to the number one supporter of terrorism around the globe. The Iran nuclear deal was not a deal. It was a Barack Obama construct that, quite frankly, then he loaded up suitcases of cash and delivered it to the mullahs in Iran, which has not, it's not gone well. All it did was encourage them even more to do what they were doing with Hamas and others. This is the right thing to do. I think the president is pushing the reset button on a lot of these lost opportunities from the last decade, and it seems to be working. And obviously, if you can get the Star Tribune writing anything positive about this administration and this president, something's working.
Expectation on moving forward with the Iran deal, backing out of the deal. There was talk early on this week after the president made the announcement that perhaps this puts everybody in a position to actually have a deal that works. Even Benjamin Netanyahu had said, look, we either get rid of it or we put one in place that actually is going to work. You know, I look, in my opinion, just to be upfront, I don't think that Iran wants to do that deal. I think they either like the deal that they had or they'd rather not have a deal. But I am curious your thoughts on whether or not you think this is perhaps a play to negotiate something that is better and actually would work as opposed to what was in place.
I think this president and the people around him would be happy to negotiate a real agreement. And when we say a real agreement, the problem with the construct created by John Kerry and Barack Obama was that it talked about inspections, but there really was no real inspection. It talked about holding the Iranians accountable. By the way, the Iranians who have entered into deal after deal over the years and never honored one of them, but had no real accountability whereby you could hold them accountable. So it's the idea that you want to create a diplomatic relationship that would put the Iranians in a place where they want to coexist peacefully, they want to develop their economy, they want to improve things for people that, you know, the middle class and those that are trying to climb the ladder of economic prosperity in Iran. That'd be fantastic. Unfortunately, the mullahs, with their behavior, have shown that is not necessarily their interest. And when their stated goal is to erase the state of Israel under any circumstance, then I understand why Benjamin Netanyahu says you got to get rid of this deal. It's exactly what our president said. Now you got to sit down. And if they would actually agree to a deal where they're going to allow people in to see and confirm what they're supposed to be doing and not doing, I'm sure that they could get to an agreement, but I don't know that the Iranians are interested in that, like you say, John.
Moving over to Trump and his meeting with Kim Jong-un coming up in June, looking at some of the details here, this is the first face-to-face North Korea-U.S. summit since the end of the 1950-53 Korean War. It's the most consequential and perhaps riskiest, according to the story I have here, foreign policy effort so far in Trump's presidency. And what we talked about earlier, and just curious to get your thoughts on, Tom, is that, you know, we're really seeing just sort of two different ways to look and handle foreign affairs. You had the 8 years of how President Barack Obama, and you step back and try to take the, you know, the politics out of it. You had the 8 years of the way that President Barack Obama handled foreign affairs, and now you have almost a polar opposite in the way that Trump is handling it. Big question marks on whether or not this is going to continue down the road of peace, but we are seeing progress where we didn't before. And I think it's fascinating when you see sort of two different ways to handle these big issues and the results of that.
Well, I think it was Reagan who once said, President Reagan never saw a war start because the United States was properly prepared to defend itself and strong in the world. I find it interesting. You said the foreign policy under Barack Obama for 8 years, what foreign policy? It was a lead from behind, stated lead from behind strategy. What does that mean, John? You know, his whole idea, if you could put a, if you could define it, it was appeasement. Like many people who mistakenly believe the lamb can lie down with the lion and they can peacefully coexist. I got news for you. The lion will eat the lamb every single time. And Barack Obama and his the people around him, they had this, they created a vacuum where it allowed bad people to take advantage of their neighbors, take advantage of their citizens in their country. And this guy comes into office. Yes, it's something that we've never seen. And admittedly, John, I think we've talked about this in the past. I was nervous when he went after North Korea. Because if you think back, under President Clinton, when Kim Jong-un's father misbehaved, rattled the sabers, the Clinton administration sent a bunch of diplomats with a bunch of suitcases full of cash, and they quieted him down, all done. Then he acted up again under George W. Bush, and they did the same thing. They sent a bunch of diplomats with a bunch of suitcases of cash, and he quieted down. Now, Kim Jong-un, following in his father's footsteps, tries to do the same thing with a president named Donald J. Trump. And rather than send a bunch of diplomats with a bunch of suitcases of cash, Donald J. Trump says, you got a choice. You can either survive by behaving, or we will wipe you off the face of the planet. Now, there's a lot of us, John, when we took that approach that went, oh, my goodness, this is not going to end well. Shockingly, and maybe it's not so shockingly, you know, this bully in Korea now has backed down and is saying, I want to sit down and talk. And by the way, the article that you brought up, it's a risky thing that Donald Trump is going to sit down with Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un just gave us three hostages, I'll call them. Detainees is what they like to call them. They were hostages. Just sent them home in return for nothing. That's a pretty big sign that Kim Jong-un understands, number one, who this president is, and it now wants to sit down and try to work something out. So I think it's not risky. It's very appropriate, and we'll see if anything comes of it.
Yeah, that was also, not surprisingly, from the Star Tribune. And honestly, I think the riskier part of it, the riskier part of it would have been last year when everything was very heated and the rhetoric going back and forth between President Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un at the time. And I think a lot of us, even those that voted for this president, were like, okay, where is this going to get us? And thankfully, it's gotten us to where we have the president meeting with Kim Jong-un. Jong-un, and it's a difference of mentality. You know, you can't get there without putting yourself out there and having some risks. We're talking about the world stage, and there's a lot at stake. Thankfully, so far, things seem to be headed in the right direction, and I think we're all curious to see where this is going to end up in the end. I think that's an understatement.
Well, I don't know. I would say this is about foreign policy or diplomatic boundaries. And under the last president, he would tell you there were boundaries and nobody believed him. And they just took advantage of their people. They took advantage of their neighbors, and they got worse and worse. Under this president, when he says there's a boundary, when he says there's a line that you shall not cross, I think they're starting to believe that he truly means there is a line that you shall not cross. And you know, it's a little disturbing, like you say, when the rhetoric is so heated, and it's very concerning. But then when you get these results with these people that want to now talk, it's clearly this is a success. Whether it can grow and whether it's going to be sustained remains to be seen. But these are things that were clearly not happening in the last decade that suddenly are happening. So it's a good thing, I believe.
Representative Tom Emmer, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us this Friday. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will catch up with you next week. Actually, thanks, we won't. No, you won't be there next week. I just remembered. So we will catch up with you in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care. All right, 651-989-5855 is the phone number that you're going to want to use to take your stab at this week's parody song contest. 5 snippets. The first caller after the next break that can correctly identify what stories are being referenced is going to win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett, Target Field, Saturday, June 30th.
What do you get when you're the AG and a big shot in the Me Too movement? When some say you're twisted and they can prove it, well, looks like you'll be resigning. Hey, Iran, Trump took your deal away. What is leafy and green and gives you food poisoning, romaine? She won't be running.
Oh, yeah.
Won't be running. Miss Obama.
That lava keeps on flowing. The destruction's pretty clear. Where there once was homes full of families, well, they're no longer here.
Justice.
This is the phone number. Everybody wants to win the pair of tickets to the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett at Target Field Saturday, June 30th. We have full lines for this week's parody song contest. We will play it one more time and then start taking your calls.
What do you get when you're the AG and a big shot in the Me Too movement? When some say you're twisted and they can prove it, well, looks like you'll be resigning. Trump took your deal away. What is leafy and green and gives you food poisoning, romaine? She won't be running.
Oh, yeah.
Won't be running. Miss Obama.
That lava keeps on flowing. The destruction's pretty clear. Where there once was homes full of families, well, they're no longer here.
We will start with Ken calling from Brainerd. Good morning, Ken. Go ahead.
Good morning, Justice and Drew and the gang. So we got number one, the crazy California woman, Garcia. She is out after being accused of sexual harassment herself. Number two, Donald J. Trump has taken us out of the Iran deal. Number three, thankfully, Buttons the Bunny has not been poisoned by romaine lettuce. Four, First Lady Forever, Michelle Obama will not be running for president. And number five, the Hawaii volcano is destroying homes left and right, even though people built in the volcano flow.
Ken, I love your confidence. I love how you delivered your answers, but unfortunately.
Extra points for specificity. There was
one wrong in there. Michael in Rockford.
You're a monster.
No, I can't help it.
We checked the judges panel, and that's what they said.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Michael, go ahead.
Is this me?
That's a deep question, actually. Yeah.
I think we're all you.
Oh, good. Well, I feel real good about that.
Okay. Good answer.
That was a good answer.
Just give the prize.
Go ahead, Michael.
That works for me. First one is Attorney General Schneiderman. Steps down because he does horrible things.
Accurate.
Lava destruction all over Hawaii. Romaine poisoning finally made it to Minnesota. It was all been waiting. The Iran deal was revoked by Trump. And Michelle Obama announced she will not be running.
Boom. There you go, Michael. Well done. You are going to see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett. It is Tequila Sunrise meets Margaritaville at Target Field on Saturday, June 30th. Hang on the line, and Sam will get all of your relevant information.
And don't worry, you can leave after
Buffett. Stop it. Boo. You get a boo.
All right, in
the Eagles.
If you're a single mom, do you think you should just go to that concert and just find a responsible guy with a job?
Yeah,
kind of. If you're looking, if that's your thing, if you want to not be a single mom anymore,
if you're like a single mom and you're out on the dating scene, that's like that's a bit better than Tinder.
Yeah, there's going to be three or four divorced dad bros, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you go fishing.
Yeah.
We have a number of different stories we can work through before we wrap up the show today. First one here is from the Associated Press, comes out of Fort Dodge, Iowa. Right? An Iowa man says his dog inadvertently shot him while they were roughhousing earlier this week.
It'd be weirder if his dog intentionally shot him.
You almost didn't need that word in the headline. There.
Did not write the article.
Wait a minute. He was roughhousing with his dog?
Yeah, I roughhouse with my dog.
Yeah. Dogs like to wrestle.
We wrestle all the time.
You never wrestled like a poodle or like a dachshund or a...
He's smaller than all dogs.
Yeah.
Like all dogs. Every dog.
We'll get you like a guinea pig. You can ride it.
I was too afraid to shoot me.
Wasn't that a sequel to All Dogs Go to Heaven, All Dogs Smaller Than Nick? No, other way around. I botched that. I blame medication. 51-year-old Richard Remy of Fort Dodge told police he was playing with his dog, Baloo, on the couch, and he tossed the dog off his lap. He says the pit bull Labrador mix bounded back up and must have disabled the safety on the gun in his belly band and then stepped on the trigger.
Okay, don't. Leave your gun in your belly band.
While you're sitting on your couch playing with your dog? What does he think people are? The SWAT team's going to come crashing through his windows at any point in time?
Yeah.
There is.
This guy's lying.
There is little to no chance that this is what
happened. The gun fired? Struck one of Remy's legs. He was treated at the hospital, released later in the day. He told the local paper that the dog was a big wuss and lay down beside him and cried because he thought he had done something wrong. Aw, poor Blue.
There is... little to no chance that this guy wasn't just alone, home, sitting on his couch, playing with his gun.
My high school, one of the PE teachers, who's also a wrestling coach, shot himself in the leg and claimed, he had this elaborate story about always moving my gun and all this stuff, and it turns out, now he's playing quick draw in the mirror naked. He just had his gun belt around and just shot himself in the leg playing quick draw.
Yeah, this is one of two things. Either what you said, something embarrassing, he did it to himself, or he's covering for somebody.
Oh.
He might be covering for
The dog?
No, like for a friend or something. Or he's covering for his dog.
No, you see, I think he shot himself. I mean, I've shared it before on the, burning my face with the iron and...
Wait, what?
I told you this story before.
You answered the phone like the old...
Have you guys heard this story before?
Have you guys ever heard the story again?
Yeah. Okay, real quick, because you guys haven't heard it before. So you guys haven't heard it. Somebody else has either. So during the dark years, right, on occasion I would iron my clothes, right?
Yeah.
So,
to look good for the club.
When, true story, I remember the shirt. And so when I would iron and I would heat the iron up, the way that I would tell the iron was hot enough is I would pick it up and I would hold it to my face.
Why don't you just put your junk up against it while you're at it?
To feel the heat coming off of it. And I did that. Unfortunately, it slipped and it landed on the side of my face. The problem was that it was there long enough to burn my face. So it actually gave me kind of the crescent marker of the iron. But the telltale sign was, how it has those...
The little holes for the water.
They had the holes.
You Daniel Sterned yourself from Home Alone.
That's right. Did that.
There's a Minnesota Twin. Oh, God, what twin was it? that burned himself.
Yes, I remember this.
Ironing his shirt while he was
wearing it.
Yes, I don't remember who it is.
Oh, see, I feel way better about myself after that.
It's funnier to pretend it's Joe Mauer.
And he went on the DL. No, it wasn't Mauer. But he went on the DL.
Yeah.
And they, like Ben Burt had to, like, report why. And everyone was like, oh.
I burnt my lips once doing a shot of Rum 151. It was my birthday, and somebody had lit it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then engaged me in a conversation, so it just sat there burning for an incredibly long period of time.
The glass got hot.
The glass got hot. So when I picked up, and it just singed. It's this perfect circle singe right around my. I know.
I thought you were trying to see if your car had been running for a while, so you kissed the exhaust pipe.
It's amazing I'm still alive.
Did you have during the dark years? Did you have one shirt that you ironed? Because that's a very young guy thing to have the one shirt, just one shirt that you needed to iron.
Yeah, I know what shirt it was that I was ironing, so that probably speaks to that.
Was it ruffled?
No, but
he had to individually iron each ruffle. I can just picture John just individually ironing ruffles.
No, hold on, Nick. It
is actually sad how easily I can picture that.
It wasn't ruffled, but it turns out I found out later that it was a woman's shirt.
Okay.
It was like Michael Scott and the suit that he bought in the office, because they buttoned differently, right? I had no idea. It was a white shirt, collar shirt, and it was ended up. Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I think there's a photo of me somewhere.
Hold on,
around.
Time out. Hold on.
I hope
yes, sir.
Two questions.
Point of order.
Two questions. Question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you purchase accidentally? This woman's shirt.
I think that I ended up. It was a leftover from an ex-girlfriend. I think that's what it was.
You stole her shirt.
I think she left it over, and it got mixed in with my clothes. And I found that one day. Oh, that's nice. And I wore it, and I liked it so much, I kept wearing it. It was one of my favorite shirts.
And this was the shirt.
It's awesome.
Either bedazzled.
No, it's just a
or. Poofy, a la the Seinfeld pirate shirt.
No, it was a plain white button down, and it was a brand that was like, you know, just a brand that was used for male and female. So like the CK1 of shirts.
It's not a thing.
Yeah, there's brands that make both male.
I've got a Claiborne male jacket at home.
Yeah. That's not
so. The condensed version of this story is that you burned your own face with an iron while you were fixing your lady's shirt.
To go to the club.
The club.
Yeah. So that guy probably...
You can find me in the club. I'll be wearing the woman's shirt.
That guy probably shot himself, is my point. Yeah. And just didn't want to admit it. At least I'm man enough to admit it.
You're something enough.
Mary on Twitter. Lou Ford was the Twins player who ironed himself.
No, that happened.
I know. I remember that happening. I couldn't remember who it was.
I think we have just enough time to get to this one from the Blaze, blaze.com. Comes out of Australia. There is a woman who is apparently an expert on relationships and sexuality who says that parents should ask their baby's permission before changing their diapers.
Got to get consent.
In order to advance the culture of consent in the home.
Yep. Deanne Carson told Australia's ABC News in an interview that a parent should say something along the lines of, I'm going to change your diaper now. Is that okay?
What is the baby supposed to say?
Well, she acknowledges that the baby will not respond. Okay. So she's not completely off her rocker, but she does say that you're basically setting a standard of consent early on.
She continued, of course, the baby is not going to respond, but if you leave a space and wait for body language and make eye contact, then you are letting that child know that their response matters.
I want you guys to know that if it ever comes to the point where I soil myself, feel free to just take care of me. At that point,
blanket consent.
But
now?
At this point, yes. If I've done that, then you just help me out.
I just.
I know. The world has gone batty.
As a almost 2-year-old little boy at home.
You're gonna ask him permission?
Well,
I'm going to feed you now.
Well, it's just so. It's just so ludicrous.
I'm going to be good. There's a joke there, but I'm going to let it go. You ever seen I don't know, I'm going to do a movie. Seen The Aviator?
Yeah.
The very, that opening scene of The Aviator with Leonardo DiCaprio, with Leonardo DiCaprio about Howard Hughes. Yeah. The opening scene to that movie is him as a kid and his mom. And that's how, and it sort of sets the stage about how she's cleaning him and talking about making sure that he stays away from diseases. And the whole point of that shows that he ends up, what is it he ends up dealing with?
He's like paranoid, or it's not even OCD, he's like peeing in bottles, he's germaphobe, and he won't leave the place. And
he was like one of the first that ended up dealing with that before they ended up with a clinical term of that.
Yeah, so extreme hypochondria, agoraphobic hypochondria or something.
You want to wreck your child, do with this apparent relationship.
Make it seem like a thing. That'll help.
No, because there's going to be the parent out there. I get what she's trying to say, but there's going to be the parent out there that's going to wait and be like, well, I don't know. I haven't gotten consent yet. I gotta let my baby stay.
We've been here for a long time.
Just soil diaper until I get affirmative consent.
Waiting for a thumbs up.
Oh, that's gross.
Then
there's going to be the dad that's going to use that as an excuse. Honey, did you change the diaper?
Oh.
Nah, I didn't get consent yet. You ought to try. Maybe they'll say yes to you.
The choice, not a diaper.
Oh, boy.
All right. Anything that you want to promote there, Brian Miller?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Every Tuesday, free comedy. Eric the Red round downtown right by the stadium. I do a free show 8:30. We got great comics coming up.
Nick Zero.
Nick Zero.
So you got a lot of long days ahead of you.
Yeah. Next week, see me at the Capitol. From 8 a.m. till midnight and later.
In a man's shirt, I hope.
Come see me.
You'll be here next Friday?
Yes.
You'll be here next Friday?
Yes.
All right. Roundtable Classic returns next Friday.
I'll be here Monday.
We'll be here Monday. Sam will be here Monday.
Good job, Sam.
DC correspondent Andrew Langer will join us on Monday. It should be a lot of fun. I hope everybody out there has a wonderful weekend. Tonight, I do want to do a plug. I do have something to plug. Tonight, the Minnesota Beer Cast will be at Bad Weather Brewing Company at 5 p.m. recording tonight's episode of the Minnesota Beer Cast. They're having an arcade weekend. They're turning their tap room into an old school arcade.
Ooh.
And I cannot wait.
And the price is really good on it, too. I read about it in City Pages.
Yeah, I cannot wait to go check that out. So,
okay, that's cool.
If you're not doing anything tonight around 5 p.m., swing by Bad Weather Brewing Company and say hi to me and my co-host Schmitty and listen to the Beercast tonight at 8.
Ooh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
You should come.
I know. I totally should. I totally won't. But I really should. Do you hear me? Nah, I don't want no money. Please come in at the house. I know. Baby, have that keep playing.
Some of us try as hard as we can. I'm Chris Addison here.